Snack Bar Games Podcast.
And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast. This is episode 255, and it's a big episode this week. We are covering the news out of the big Xbox event, and we will get to that later. But first of all, we're going to talk about some news and some games. Here this week, we have Andrew. How's it going, Andrew?
It's going all right. I have nothing important. I have nothing exciting to say other than it's going all right.
Okay. Fair.
Yep.
Okay. And Sean's with us. Hey, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
Me? You're asking me?
How are you doing?
I never get to answer this.
He wasn't prepared for this.
You're supposed to be prepared for everything, Graham.
I'm prepared. I've been playing some really weird games.
So another week in the life of Graham.
This one may be super special. So I started out by playing an Ouya game that accepts whatever controllers you plug into it.
That sounds like a pretty great Ouya game.
It's actually maybe the best Ouya game, and I'll probably write about it sometime before the official launch of that system. Then I went into a horse racing game on the Neo Geo where you just hit the button a whole bunch to make your horse go faster.
Those games are the best.
Yeah, then I played Tony Hawk Ride.
Okay, what? Why?
It was $5.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
It was $5 is the start of so many horrible things.
Yes.
So now you have this thing sitting in your house somewhere that you're probably never going to use again.
Yeah, but to be fair, it's something that won't be tried again next gen. So if I'm going to have something, then this is probably the only time I'm going to be able to. It was really bad, so I decided to try to play something I thought would be better. So I finally opened my copy of NBA Baller Beats.
Oh, boy.
And, was that also $5?
Yeah, no, it was $10, but it came with a free basketball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Free basketball.
But then I realized that even though my floor is hardwood, it doesn't bounce basketballs very well, so it just wouldn't. But yeah.
Now here's the question. Can you use those controllers with that Ouya game?
Are you saying the Tony Hawk Ride controller, or are you saying me?
And the Baller Beats controller.
saying the basketball.
It's not connect enabled, but I could wire the basketball with some controls, I guess.
What else are you going to do with it?
Technically, the Ride controller is a 360 controller. If I synced it with a receiver, I could use it, I guess.
You should try.
You should. That might make the game even better.
And then bring out some Rock Band drums and.
Oh, I've played games with Rock Band drums before.
I know. I believe it.
It's not that bad.
But it's pretty loud.
Anyway, also joining us this week, Lucas. Hey, Lucas.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good to be here again. Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been playing some interesting stuff. We'll talk about some of it later, but yeah. All right, and rounding out our panel for the first part of the episode is Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
Hey. How are you?
Hey.
Are you? You're claiming that the weirdness you've played is weirder than the weirdness that I've been playing.
I left out some pretty.
It's weird off.
This is an episode of you. This is an episode of weirdness, I guess.
So, what did you play that was weird, Jeff?
Xenoclash 2, of course.
We'll talk about that later, but that's at least like a standard released game that uses a controller and or mouse, and like I don't know. That seems also it seems good. Well, you know what? Actually, the Ouya game I played was pretty good.
I've also been playing Check My Email and Get Them to Tell Me Again that my Ouya is waiting to be shipped.
Well, yep.
That game doesn't sound as fun as actually playing games on the Ouya.
No, it's not equal.
Oh, okay.
there are some good fun games on the Ouya, and I'll go ahead and talk about this, I guess. There's a certain spirit that some of the games have where it's just, I want to play this game, so I made this game. And a lot of them have, like, you know, instead of pay to unlock the full game things, they're just, hey, if you like the game, here's a thing where you can donate me $1.
All right.
That seems pretty great. It's kind of a combination of, like, people who finally want their games on TV and that early Android crowd of, you know, like in early Android days, the apps, you couldn't actually charge money for them. So it kind of attracts this for the greater good kind of crowd. But yeah, I mean, look, it's capable of doing things. The current lineup is rough, but
it's capable of doing things.
Yeah, I'm okay with that being my endorsement of that thing.
All right,
Ouya, it does things.
No. It's capable of doing things. There's a difference.
Sure. Okay. Enough about that. We'll actually probably talk about the Ouya closer to launch once people have theirs and have played a little more. But let's go ahead and talk about some news. And there's been a lot of it since our last episode. Sean,
there's always a lot of it lately for some reason.
Except for...
It's like we're getting close to E3 or something.
Meeting scheduling. Okay. Sean knows.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the biggest news? Except for the estimate that we're going to talk about later.
Well, my biggest news is that we're getting Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies.
That is your biggest news.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yeah.
So, do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Capcom has decided that it is not worth releasing physically, but we will go ahead and get an eShop release. So, yay. That caused some a lot of rant, weird to me, controversy, because people are getting mad that it's digital.
Angry Kirby, Sean.
Yes, I know. I don't understand them saying that they'd rather not get it at all than get it digitally.
Yeah, well, they can just not get it. They didn't require Capcom to release it for them to not buy it.
Yeah.
So true. Their situation has not changed.
This is true.
Anyway.
So that's my biggest news. What's your biggest news?
Ooh. My biggest news?
Yes.
Shining Force for the Game Gear is going to be on PS Virtual Console.
That is pretty big news.
It's pretty good. Because here's the thing. Game Gear games, you can't legitimately play on a Game Gear because they all break. And if they don't break, their screens are like super dim and like they last for 15 minutes. So Game Gear games are really good to re-release digitally. And it'll probably be something dumb like $3 or $4. So, yep.
I do like Shining Force.
Shining Force is a lot of fun.
It is.
Did we get that? We did get that one in the U.S.
Right? Which, yes.
Okay. I know there was another one that we didn't, but that was turned into a Sega CD game.
Yeah, so this is the first book of what became Shining Force CD.
Oh, okay.
And the first book was the first Game Gear game. The second book was the second Game Gear game we didn't get. And there were third and fourth books that were exclusive to the Sega CD. And also there were some weird save file shenanigans with that, where like technically the save file on a Sega CD can't be large enough to hold all four, so you had to have a memory unit, or you had to only have one of the two sides, or
familiar. I had Shining Force CD. It wasn't very good, but I had to play it because I was a huge fan of that series. So
yeah,
and I had a Sega CD for some reason.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, there's a lot of good stuff on Sega CD. What are you talking about?
There is, but...
I mean, not as much as on the Neo Geo Pocket Color, but it's close.
Of course not. My best experiences with that system are just few in number. There's so many bad games we had. Of course, this is before I had any like, you know, influence over what games we bought. So it was just like, you know, here's this. You know, here's this cheap Sega CD game. Oh, Night Trap? All right. Great.
Wait, your family purchased you Night Trap?
No, not for me. It was just kind of like, it was when they bought the system, it came with like a bunch of, basically it came with all of the best FMV games you could ask for. And by best, I mean the FMV games that you could ask for.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, hey, I've heard Sherlock Holmes is pretty good. Okay, Sean, more news, please.
All right, more news. EA has dropped the online pass. They're not going to do that anymore.
That's, yeah, okay.
Does anyone think that that's not because they don't want the money? Or that's because they don't want the money, rather?
I mean, well, the prevailing theory is that there's going to be some sort of hardware solution. And that this is like a combination, let's go ahead and prepare for the next gen. But before that, and before people know that this isn't actually a concession to them, let's have a good PR gesture and get rid of them.
Yeah.
If, yeah. They are the worst country in the world, so they need something to help.
Okay.
Did I say country?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Company.
I was going to let that one slide, but no.
I thought that was some kind of... I thought it was a joke that I just didn't get, but all right.
Nope.
Nope. All right.
Nope. That was just me being tired.
Yeah, if there is a hardware solution, they're trying to shove some of the anger off on console makers, because they're gonna be like, we got rid of online passes, but then these other guys brought them back in.
It's yep. some form. Yeah.
There are always angry Kirby's on the internet.
All right. Next, we have EA also signed a deal with Disney to make more Star Wars games. And they're the only ones that
will make any Star Wars games.
Hooray.
you want to elaborate on that, Lucas?
That's it.
Yep, that sums it up.
Okay.
No, I'm excited about a possible Knights of the Old Republic 3.
Yeah, I would like to see that. I would like.
Don't
to
you
see,
mean
I
mean, Knights of the Old Republic 13? Because the Old Republic was Knights of the Old Republic 3 through 12, right?
That's right.
That's true. Maybe they should put those into a standalone game so we can buy that too.
Or release each one as episodic content.
Sure.
Yeah. Just start honestly, renaming them.
Even though exclusivity, I don't think in this case might not be the best thing. I think EA has some great studios, so we will potentially see some at least decent Star Wars games. At least better than what we've been getting. Yeah, but you know, they have a company over there. They call themselves DICE. They make Battlefield games.
Yeah.
And those are pretty good, usually.
Those are pretty good, so, you know.
I think the exclusivity helps Disney maintain their franchise. It's a lot easier to sort of do what LucasArts did and keep control over what game companies are doing with the Star Trek or Star Wars story with just having one company to deal with instead of five.
Yeah.
And you definitely don't want to do what Star Trek did with their games.
Well, in general, they've pretty much ignored everything that isn't the TV show or movies, so.
Yeah, and they tend to be bad.
Yeah.
All right.
And, so, you know, whatever you do, don't let Namco do it. That's really bad.
Apparently so, yeah.
Just as long as no other companies are doing that with any major games, letting Namco develop it.
Poor Namco. you just I think you just said that Namco shouldn't develop games.
No, just not for other companies.
Oh, okay.
That are high profile or anything. Like, okay. I don't know. Let's keep going.
All right. Next we have Precursor Games is doing a crowdsourcing for Shadow of the Eternals, which I believe is the sequel to Eternal Darkness.
The spiritual successor.
Spiritual successor.
A fancy term.
Yeah.
That basically means sequel.
Andrew, I know you're a big fan of the original, right?
I love Eternal Darkness. One of my favorite games.
What are your thoughts on this? Kind of say a little more about what it is, because I think people would need a little better description of it. Ahead. But yeah.
Okay. Well, Precursor Games basically is composed of everyone who was over at Silicon Knights before, just around the time that X-Men Destiny shipped and that game bombed, and those guys were just, their company was just mismanaged, and you know, they had that lawsuit with Epic and all of this crazy stuff was happening. So it seems like they formed a new company, and then Silicon Knights was never officially closed, but they purchased the assets and stuff that Silicon Knights was working on supposedly for this spiritual successor, so they can work on it under a different name. And it's very shady. They basically paid themselves to just kind of like start a new company and start fresh. Although now all the stuff is coming out and everyone is very skeptical of this project. And they also went and did a non-Kickstarter crowdfunding thing where it's directly on their website.
Yeah.
And if you pay them, you're basically donating money, not pitching money to them if they meet their goal.
Yeah.
And
then,
technically
the other sites kind of do that too.
With this, you're paying right up front. With
yeah. That part is rough.
You don't pay until they meet their goal and they get when the deadline hits. Of course, they did make a Kickstarter eventually, so now they have two crowdfunding things going, and neither of them is doing very well. So
yeah,
I don't know. I think if anything, we will see in episode one of this, and that's it. But
yeah,
I get the feeling
that people would be more excited if it was the Eternal Darkness IP and a different company.
Yes. Yes, that would be great. If Nintendo,
which is weird, because usually that's not the case. You know, usually it's like it's kind of the carpet bagging thing.
You
like,
want the original team. You want as much of the original team as possible. And I mean, I don't. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Dennis Dyack is, as far as I know, one of the only few people who actually was around when they made Eternal Darkness. I don't know any of the other people, so I don't. Other than the fact that they once worked at Silicon Knights, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much of that heritage is there, but
yeah,
this seems like they had a gameplay demo and it seemed okay. It looks nice. It's for some reason it's a Wii U and PC game. I guess because they want to stick to Nintendo consoles. I don't know.
I bet there's some sort of back office talk. Like, all right, well, if you make it console exclusive on the Wii U, then we're not gonna sue you.
That's true because they own the Eternal Darkness IP and they own the Sanity Effects stuff, so I don't know, it's weird. If it comes out, I will probably try it, but I'm not excited in any capacity for this.
All right, let's keep moving.
All right, next we have a weird situation at Ubisoft where Patrice Desilets has been fired or let go, depending on who you listen to. Or left on his own.
And his entire project is
canceled.
And his chief lieutenant guy gone. So I thought that maybe this would at least not be the case for the first year or so, but it does seem that UB bought that studio as a warehouse of people to help work on the other games.
Yeah, that's I also get the feeling
him some more.
Some people are saying that they basically bought the studio to fire Patrice
again,
which the first time Patrice left on his own, which
sure, and then he did take a bunch of their employees with him.
I don't know, it's a weird situation. It's hard to say whether or not Ubisoft actually tried to work with them on this project, or they basically right from the start said you have to work on our stuff over whatever you were working on. It's hard to say, but I don't know. It's just weird. Why just throw all this stuff away? I mean, they could at least continue to have the team work on it, just to see if anything else comes of it. But I don't know. It's a strange situation.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird.
So I don't know. It's kind of sad and it's kind of frustrating. We don't have a lot of information,
mm-hmm.
So it's hard to talk about it.
All right. So last before we get to some Nintendo Direct news, because that happened this week too, we have Gran Turismo 6 is going to be on the PS3 this holiday, which is weird to me at least.
Yeah.
It implies that they were working on this for a long time and they didn't have the time or resources to shift it over to PS4. So
that's crazy. It's not like that company's known for taking really, really long time to make PS3 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it'll just be the prologue on PS3 and the real game will be on PS4.
Well, I mean, it seems that the talk is that this has been built in a way that is more easily movable to a new system. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a quick follow-up later, not this holiday, but maybe next year, of kind of like an enhanced version of the game for PS4. Yeah. But I don't know. I think if it controls better and it has more stuff, then like people who like cars are going to still like it and buy it because it's Gran Turismo.
Apparently, I thought, you know, honestly, this entire time I thought Gran Turismo 5 was considered a disappointment, but that game sold incredibly well. According to Sony, anyway. Yeah, apparently. I don't remember the exact number, but they basically said it was a big hit for them.
So, I mean, that's one of those things where, like, the world of people who like simulation racing games, it seems to be completely separate from, like, anything, like, any other games.
Yeah.
Is that most of those people buy the system so that they can play their one game. You look at how crazy people, like, Microsoft tries to up the ante with Forza, where it's like, hey, you can put like 6 TVs next to each other and then put it around. And then, well, each of them needs their own Xbox and their own desk of Forza. But if you can all set them up and network them, then you can just have a whole like surround view. And then people do it. It's because that's the only thing they buy.
It's like how Madden sells so many copies, but.
Well, kind of, but also Madden players will probably play Call of Duty, or they may play NBA 2K or something.
Yeah. I remember when I worked, games retail when Gran Turismo 4 came out, we sold at my one store on launch day, we sold over 1,000 copies of it. We sold 400 PS2s and we sold about 150 or 200 driving wheels and chairs.
Yeah.
People like their Gran Turismo.
And we basically emptied out the entirety of our software section to only have that stuff in it that day because we didn't have room for everything. And we sold it all out, and then the rest of the week we sold normal stuff.
Normal stuff. Oh no.
Yeah.
Hear that, guys? Gran Turismo isn't normal. I'm sorry.
This is an intervention. For weirdos.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely surprised that Grand Theft Auto or Gran Turismo 5.
Whoa, what?
Well, that was the normal stuff. Gran Turismo 5 sold well. I'm just surprised it wasn't considered a disappointment because I played the others. And even though I'm not a crazy race enthusiast, I liked the way they controlled. I didn't like 5 at all. I couldn't do anything.
I think it's because you're not a crazy race enthusiast. Yeah. Like that's from what I can tell. Is it the series has progressed more and more to be for those people, which is fine because if you want a game that's more fun but still has that same kind of thing, it seems like that's what Drive Club is going to try to be. A lot like how Project Gotham is to Forza, like that. Like, yes, these are real cars, and yes, we're making a big deal out of the cars, but it's not super simmy.
Right.
Anyway,
now we have Nintendo giving us a Direct that actually has Wii U information in it.
Technically, yes.
Yes. So we got...
But before we get into it, this is what we'd call a normal Nintendo Direct as opposed to the ridiculous ones that have upped everybody's expectations.
Yes.
This is a more reasonable thing where you'd have a live stream instead of an event where you announce.
Yeah, because it's not like every single time they do this, they can have tons of blockbusters coming out.
Well, I mean, they could. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind either.
If they did, they'd probably get the money out of me to continue doing them. But, you know. Yeah.
Graham will continue to fund Nintendo Directs from here on out.
Yep. I could probably do that. just the Direct, though. Not
as long as they give you Shining Force or Game Gear titles, right?
Yeah. that was the best news out of that event. Says a lot about that event.
Yes, it was the best. Well, I think it was the best.
The revelation that New Super Luigi U is a full title with like multiplayer support and stuff, as opposed to kind of what it seemed like, which was like a single player challenge mode kind of thing. That's encouraging. I don't understand why Nabbit is there. It's kind
for the multiplayer.
Yeah. Well, no Mario. Maybe because Nabbit has already been modeled in the game.
And I completely forgot about him.
But how insulting is it that like there's no story reason for Peach not to be there, but Peach is not?
Yeah.
Mario's gone. Luigi's got to save him. How about also Peach?
Peach. Yeah, I guess she's too busy.
Well, you know what? Nabbit is more interesting than say putting in probably what would have been a red
toad.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or a green toad.
Well, that I mean. It will be Red Toad because it should play some Mario.
You know, the retail version.
Just put three toads in.
It's a green box.
It's got a green box.
Look,
green boxes.
It's standalone, which is nice. If it were releasing at the same time, I'd buy the box.
But it's 2 months later.
It's two months later and $10 kinda more, weird. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, the 2 months later is kind of weird. The fact that it's $10 more is okay because it's a standalone and it's a retail product. But yeah, anyway, interesting nonetheless.
It's a green box though.
That's
the biggest news from Nintendo Direct.
Yes,
for me.
It is. And here's the thing: it's not going to stand out that much because it's next to like light blue box. You know?
Yeah.
It's not like the red box. It's like, whoa, in the sea of white, there's red. No, it's still
pretty cool.
Like if you're colorblind, you may not even notice.
So we also got a date for Wonderful 101, which I know Andrew was not happy to hear that the date of September 15th.
Wait, I was or wasn't?
Was not. Because it's so long away.
I honestly didn't expect it before August. Hmm. But I'm glad it's September, not August. In a way, I know it sounds weird. I want the game later, but it's because there's so many games coming out in August. So I get the feeling this is also just kind of the make way for Pikmin 3 in August, because what else do they have besides those two things until like the holiday stuff that they haven't unveiled yet? So
well, they haven't unveiled one thing we'll probably get this August or this holiday. Mario and Sonic Winter Games.
What is the full title? I wonder if anyone knows.
Mario and Sonic at the Sochi, at the 2014 Sochi Olympic Winter Games.
Good job.
No problem. So I think it's gonna be pretty good because the 2010 Winter Games title was the best of the Mario and Sonic ones because it had all these interesting games as opposed to like the summer events that are very track and field, like hit the button a whole bunch or waggle a whole bunch events. They're interesting things. There's like hockey and there's like bobsleigh was actually, but curling is great. Yeah. So like it's games and it's therefore a little more complex. So I think it will do interesting things with the gamepad.
I do like the idea of the bobsled meets downhill skiing thing.
Yeah. Like the dream events are great. Yeah. Like the
It's funny that he spent so long talking about how Sochi was not all wintry like the rest of Russia, and then it's all snowy games.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
it's like okay.
I mean, also Vancouver, Sonic. But you know, never mind.
Yeah. Also, we're getting Sonic Lost World.
We're
on
putting
the Wii U.
Winter events in the wrong places.
Apparently so.
Okay, sorry, you're gonna say something.
Sorry, Sonic. I must have gotten lost in the shuffle. Sonic Lost World is coming to the Wii U and 3DS exclusively.
Yeah. Yeah, because Nintendo has a publishing agreement for Sonic games, which apparently includes the Olympics, Lost World, and something else.
Something else, yep.
And there are winks and nudges from the crew out in Sumo that it may possibly be a Sonic versus Mario Kart thing, which would be really good.
I would get that.
Wow. Please. Let's make that happen.
As long as there's no Danica Patrick.
But, no, she'll still be there. I mean,
She'll just be wearing a Mario hat.
Okay, I'm all right with that. I mean, if it supports Miis, then Danica Patrick will be there.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Duh.
Of course.
Okay. Any more news, or should we move on?
I have something, if that's possible.
I just watched a trailer for a new Guilty Gear game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Just watch the trailer.
I guess that was announced today.
I'm pretty excited. I am pretty excited too. I like the last Guilty Gear game that I really got into was I think X2 proper X2, not Accent Core or anything like that. So excitement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fighting games.
I'm not a big fighting game guy, but I do like the occasional.
I like fighting games where you can stand all the way on the other side of the screen and then hit people with either projectiles or incredibly long weaponry.
So you like Smash Brothers?
Yes.
And Soul Calibur.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Soul Calibur does have long weapons.
Keelik is the man. They're not in the new one because they ruined them.
They made his weapon shorter?
They made his weapon into randomly any of the other weapons that are held by males.
What?
They,
what?
In Soul Calibur 5, they
Soul
took...
Soul Calibur.
5, yeah. in Soul Calibur 5, there's always been like this like edge master guy who randomly has.
Yeah, but why him?
In the new, well, this is like a new generation, so they have this like monkey kid who is like Gelic but has smaller reach and is a little faster. Anyway, but they have like this mask thing. It turns out to be Gelic you unlock, who randomly gets any of the guys' weapons, and then this angel who happens to look like Sophitia, who has all the female weapons, and it's really dumb.
I'm glad I didn't play that game then.
Well, I mean, the game's fun. The story mode wasn't ever made, and they're dumb things with Gelic. But besides that, okay, let's stop talking. Come on. About this.
All right, so let's talk about games we've been playing then.
Okay.
Video games.
Games. All right.
Video games. Yes. All right. So, hey, Lucas.
Yes.
You've been playing of game on the Vita, of all things.
There that are game, games on that the game. Vita.
It finally happened.
Okay, I got that.
Yeah.
The game came out on the Vita, and it's not a port.
And it doesn't help you wake up.
Yeah.
Same. Thought that was going to be all the games at that point. It's my wake up game system.
So, yeah, Wake Up Club still might be the best Vita game of the year so far, but I don't know. Soul Sacrifice seems pretty cool, too.
Okay.
tell us about Soul Sacrifice. Right.
So, I guess the first interesting thing about it is that Keiji Inafune is the game designer.
Yeah.
So, kind of his first big thing after Capcom. And it's kind of like a Monster Hunter clone, sort of like Ragnarok Odyssey.
Yeah, it's more Ragnarok Odyssey than Monster Hunter, I think.
Kind of third-person action with very specific controls. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really centered around the theme of sacrifice. Like, you're playing with magic instead of just giant weapons. And in order to use a weapon or a spell or what have you, you have to make an offering with an item in your inventory. You pick them up after battles and things like that. And if you use it too much, it breaks. If you hold on to it, you can fuse them or...
You can fuse them or you can fuse them?
Fuse them. You can also combine them together to make them stronger and all kinds of fun stuff.
In both also, games had Soul on the title. Anyway, yeah.
Oh, man.
There's also a lot of multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
And you can choose to save or sacrifice the other players if they end up in a bad situation.
Okay. Can you throw them into the river and run away?
What river?
Almost. Almost worth it. I only like games where you can throw people in the river and run away.
All right.
No reaction at all to that. Okay. Never.
Anyways.
So
there's just a lot of focus on give and take and throw the game, basically. There's sort of like a morality system that has you either saving or destroying enemies, and that gives you appropriate bonuses and affects the story and all that good stuff. But there's just a lot of it that's also pretty closely entwined with the gameplay. Like if you save everyone, you'll be more defensive and you'll have that kind of special skill set. If you sacrifice everyone, you'll be stronger, but you'll lack defense. And there's also this system where you can permanently damage yourself. Like you can sacrifice your eyes or your skin in order to get a huge boost to something, but after you use it, then something permanently affects the game in a really big negative way. Like if you sacrifice your skin, you take 50% extra damage for its entire rest of the game.
Essentially, there are negative passives.
Yeah.
Why would you do... Never mind. It seems interesting, but also I would never, ever, ever choose the thing that would make me permanently weaker. Ever, ever.
Well, yeah, it's them trying to really focus on that theme, but then there's also this thing where you can pretty much take back any decision you make with
no reapply your own skin unto yourself.
Yeah, so it kind of like defeats the purpose. It's weird, but it's an interesting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the fact that you can It's basically the game is centered around this book, and you're reading it, and you're kind of going through the history of this character that you create.
I like reading books. That's why I play video games.
Do you like reading books with faces on them that talk to you?
No.
No, and they also cry sometimes, and you have to collect their tears and use their tears to reverse the decisions you made.
No, usually I like reading books to get away from people who talk to me and cry when I make decisions.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, then this might not be the game for you.
Okay.
Lucas, have you tried? I mean, you wrote the review. The reviews should be up or is up this week. But the multiplayer. What did you think of the multiplayer stuff?
It's pretty standard stuff. Like a lot of the core mechanics of the game aren't really anything remarkable. But like I said, it takes the sacrifice stuff and applies it to that too.
Yeah.
Because during the single player, you can just save or sacrifice monsters after you kill them.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, if one of your allies is defeated, you can either save them and have them continue on. And if I remember correctly, you take damage doing that. So yeah. you can bring the extra player in, but cost yourself, or you can take them out, which it gives you some sort of bonus. But then they also can, even though they're dead, they have a passive role in the rest of the fight where they can debuff enemies or something like that.
They are ghosts.
Yeah. So it's interesting.
Ooh, ghosts.
Speaking of ghosts, Lucas, you've been playing another game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are there ghosts in that game? No one ever says. Or I guess you shouldn't say anything about that game.
Yeah, I'm not saying because
okay, Lucas.
The game's like 2 hours long, and if you say anything about the story, it ruins the
So you can't point. Say anything about the game?
The story.
Okay.
But I can't say that it's a game.
Yeah, we should tell people what the game is first.
Yeah. Yeah. Starship Damry, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, probably.
Might not be. Maybe. it's the first in the next set of the level 5 guild titles.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, another one of the level 5 guild O2 titles is by Keiji Inafune.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Connections.
Yeah.
6 degrees of Keiji Inafune. So this one is by the two guys that made this game that nobody's ever heard of called Night of the Sickle Weasels on the Super Nintendo or Super Famicom way back.
I am one of the few who has heard of it because I watch Game Center CX.
Yeah. That's a game sure. that I believe inspired the guy that made the Zeroscape games, which is how I heard of it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so it's a horror game, sort of. And the big gimmick is that it doesn't tell you anything about what's going on or how to do anything. The game just drops you in. You have to figure out the controls. You have to figure out what's going on. All that
really sounds pretty scary. Itself.
Yeah, it does. It does a lot to lend to the atmosphere of the game.
Yeah. But we're not going to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't really say much else.
should people play it?
Yes.
Your review will go up at some point, but yeah. Great.
It's definitely worth checking out.
And, I know if you've played previous guild games, each guild O2 game has like some sort of unlockable bonus.
Right.
Do you know what that is for that game? Because it doesn't explain anything or show you anything or tell you anything. What would it be that you get? Or would you know that you got
it? As you progress through the game, of course, you kind of fill in the holes and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't actually played any of the other guild games, but I think it's just once you beat the game, it gives you a little extra story bits to help you kind of figure things out.
Okay. Cool.
Excellent. All right, Sean.
Yes?
You have been playing Anomaly 2. Is that right?
I played some of that, possibly.
Possibly, okay. We need an answer, because otherwise we're just wasting time. We have things to talk
about,
Sean.
Well, let's be clear. We are always wasting
time.
Let's be clear.
I played enough of it that I am better at Justin, or better than Justin at
Justin.
Multiplayer.
Are you better at being Justin? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I could never raise 4 kids that are the same age.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds insane.
It does. Yeah,
so, we'll see. Now he has a disadvantage. He's playing the game with 4 kids in his arms.
He's probably tired.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just get him to help, right?
True. I don't know. How old are they? They probably wouldn't be that helpful.
I don't know.
No, they're not. They're not that old yet.
Okay.
But still, when it happens... Uh-oh. Oh man, he's gonna be
then. You're in trouble, Sean.
Yes, I will be. But, yeah. But until then, I'm better at Anomaly 2 than he is.
Yeah. So Anomaly 2 is the sequel to Anomaly Warzone Earth, which is kind of the first game to kind of mess with the tower defense formula in a real way, because it is a tower offense game. You have a squad, you march them toward towers and get them through areas by choosing their path and upgrading things and things like that. And it started out as a big mobile game. And it was designed for that touch interface, but then they ported it to the PC and added this commander that you run around. So you like are there, and that part's really interesting. There were ports to freaking everything. I think we reviewed it a few times along the way, but they finally have an actual sequel now.
Yay. And Yay. The Earth is still a war zone.
But of course. Just not in the title anymore.
It's not in the title.
People are tired of it. Whatever. It's the normal thing. We don't even say it out loud. Of course, Earth is a war zone.
Of course it is. Yeah. It's pretty much all.
But then, like, if it's the norm, then how is it an anomaly? If everything is an anomaly, is anything an anomaly?
Maybe this is the game where Earth stops becoming a war zone, but that's like the twist at the end of the game. And that's the anomaly. I don't know. I haven't played it.
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
You have to figure out what the anomaly is.
Okay.
Anomaly 2, end of war zone.
Also, the gameplay is just as fun as it was in the first game and in the preview I had for it. Story is monster robots have invaded the Earth somehow, and you have to kill them all.
Are they alien monster robots?
Mm.
I don't know if we created them or if the aliens sent them here.
Okay.
But I do know that they are very strong towers, and it takes a lot of shooting them to kill them.
So, what?
But it
is
adds
new
a multiplayer.
What is it? So the multiplayer is the main new thing.
Mostly, it's interesting because it has everything you would think it needs to be a good multiplayer setup, but it's a little unbalanced.
Hopefully that'll get fixed with patching or something. Is that something that you think could get fixed?
I think you get fixed with patching. The basic deal is one player is the human offensive players, and the other team is the robot towers. And the problem is that it takes time to build up a decent defense in any game, and you don't necessarily have that time. The offensive player gets to choose where his units go, and he can send them straight into the middle of your base if he wants to, and wipe out everything that you have built as you're building it, which means you will never do any good. However, if he decides to go in the opposite direction or something and start building up his technology instead by earning money from destroying all the money that's sitting next to the paths, then you, as the defensive player, will be able to build up such strong defenses that he can't kill you, no matter how much he tries. So it needs some kind of middle ground, and there's not really one of those right now.
Well, still, interesting game.
Yes.
Great.
It's definitely worth playing for anyone that likes the genre.
Yeah. Fans of the genre.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's kind of interesting because it's one of the only tower defense games that didn't make their competitive online into a MOBA.
I think we have enough MOBAs, don't you?
Yeah.
We have more than enough MOBAs.
But generally, they all started because they had a tower defense game and they wanted it to be competitive.
Too many MOBAs.
Two MOBAs.
Yeah, we don't need anything more than League of Legends.
We don't need. Well, I mean, I don't know.
I don't even.
A few of them deserve to exist. I think.
Maybe.
Well, you guys aren't excited for the DC MOBA.
Oh,
I didn't know that existed.
I'm counting
you're
down.
Better off that way.
I'm counting down the days.
Can you be Aquaman?
You can be Vampire Batman.
What?
What?
Now I'm actually counting down the days. I want Vampire Batman.
What?
It sounds insane.
It's not a DC game without like 50 versions of Batman.
That's true.
But only one of those versions is a vampire.
Okay. I'm
you can play as him.
But MOBAs are okay again. We're good.
Okay.
All right. So speaking of not... Yeah?
Andrew.
Yeah.
You've been playing some games.
Whoa.
You've been playing a lot of games.
I Yeah, I've been playing a lot of games. On top of Soul Sacrifice, which I talked about with Lucas, I've been also been playing two first-person shooters, which couldn't be more different.
They could be more different.
What are you talking about? All first-person shooters are exactly the same.
They could. I promise you.
Okay.
You're gonna have to prove it to me.
They couldn't be. Okay. Well, I will start with the silly one. I'll start with Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon.
Okay.
This game is ridiculous, and sometimes its ridiculousness is stupid in a bad way, but usually it's pretty stupid in a good way. This is a standalone downloadable game based on the Far Cry 3 engine and all the Far Cry 3 mechanics, but it's set in this post-apocalyptic world.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, there's a theme.
They could be more different. Okay, continue.
Yeah, you win. You win this round. I'll get you next time.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, it takes place in the far-flung past of 2007.
Yeah. It is the future, though.
It is the future of it's the future of the past.
Explain that?
I would try to explain the story, but I promise you it won't make any sense. But basically, you're this super soldier who was made into this cyber super soldier because you're one of the best around, and you're the only guy who could stop this other bad guy who used to be your commander.
And you were in the Terminator.
Yeah, exactly. So, it doesn't make any sense. It never makes sense, and then once it ends, you'll realize that, and you'll be like, oh, okay. But when you're actually playing it and not caring about the story, it's a lot of fun. You know, Far Cry 3 was a great game. It was, you know, it had a lot of things going for it. This game kind of doesn't expand on any of that, but the changes to the visuals and to the setting really kind of break things up. It's still on an island, and there, you know, you still have, you know, you can still roam around. It's not as big as the island of Far Cry 3, obviously, but there are still plenty of things to do. There's still hunting. Like, you can hunt cyber sharks and you know, sure. cyber dogs, you know, why not? And
everything about this game makes me think, what if the 80s action movies were a video game?
Yes, exactly. And the cutscenes are kind of like, they look like they're ripped straight out of an 80s arcade game, like the X-Men arcade game or something. They're that kind of style.
That's not an 80s arcade game.
Is that a 90s arcade game?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they were ripped right out of an arcade game either way. So the game just kind of doesn't take itself seriously. Sometimes when it does take itself super seriously, that's when it's at its best. But when it also kind of tries to be like too jokey about like video game tropes, like there's a tutorial that's kind of beating you over the head, the fact that tutorials in modern games suck. And it's just one of those things where it's trying to point out a flaw in games, but also making you play that part in games that sucks. So it doesn't work. And stuff like that. When they try to poke fun at other games that are similar to it, it just falls flat, but. Usually it works. Like the humor, when it takes itself seriously, when it's just kind of over the top ridiculous, it's a lot of fun. And there are blood dragons, and they shoot lasers out of their mouth. They're pretty cool.
I feel like if there were dragons and they shot lasers out of their mouth, I would name them laser dragons.
Yeah, but they're out for blood.
They're out for blood with lasers?
Yes.
I'd find a way to put laser in their name somewhere.
Laser blood dragon?
Sure. Or
blood laser dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blazer right. Dragons.
No.
Yeah.
No. I don't like where this is going. Okay. So I'm going to move on. The other game I've been playing is also a post-apocalyptic game.
Yeah.
Sigh. And it takes itself very seriously and for good reasons, because this is like, complete, like I said, very, in terms of how it presents itself, it is it is the opposite of Blood Dragon, as it takes itself seriously, and it is kind of depressing. That's Metro Last Light. This is the sequel to the cult classic. I don't know. Metro 2033.
I'm comfortable calling it cult, but not classic.
Okay, it's the cult.
It came out like a couple years ago.
Yeah. I just naturally combine cult and classic when I say those words. I don't know why. Okay, I'll stop. The cult game from a few years back, Metro 2033, which was great but had some mechanical issues, mostly dealing with the actual shooting mechanics. But Metro Last Light, kind of the development team for A Games, they set out to make this, you know, on top of kind of continuing on the themes and the story from the first game, they wanted to improve upon the shooting mechanics. And they do a fantastic job with that because the game feels just like any other first person shooter. Like when you're playing it, you won't really think that you're playing like a lesser shooter. Like it plays great. The weapons are great and the way you can customize those weapons are great. So all that works a lot better than the first game. Plus they continue on with it. Like I said, they continue on with the themes and stuff. So it is very dark, very depressing. You will often just feel like a terrible person playing it. But in a way, I love that because I love post-apocalyptic games that kind of examine the nature of humans and how they would, you know, live on after the apocalypse and how kind of they continue on with some of their old traits while adapting new ones to survive. And it does a lot of really interesting things with that. And it has, like the first game, it has a really cool choice system where you don't directly make choices. Like there isn't a dialogue tree that pops up and you say, oh, I want to do this or that. You make choices through your actions. And sometimes, you know, you'll do something and you won't even realize that, you know, is considered by the game as a good choice or a bad choice until it happens. And then, and it kind of, I don't know. I like games that don't like throw choices in your face and kind of make you think about choices all the time. So as you're playing it, you might have it in the back of your head that what I'm doing might be considered good or bad, but it never really like, oh, I'm going to be good all the time. You never really think about it like that. Like you would in a Mass Effect game, you know, you always pick the Paragon option. Or you always pick the Renegade option. So
I always pick the Paragon option in life.
I always pick the Renegade option
in life.
Yes. I've never pushed anyone out a window, so not yet.
That's your story right now. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe check back in 10 years. We'll see. Yeah. So it handles choice really well, and it affects the ending. There are one of two endings, and yeah. Oh yeah. And the game emphasizes stealth even more than the first game. So there are sections with large groups of enemies where you could just avoid all of the enemies altogether. And I think that the game kind of wants you to do that in a way. It kind of pushes you towards that. But if you just want to kind of run in and take everyone out, you can. And it's, you know, because of the improvements to the actual gunplay, it feels great. So this is a fantastic game, and it's got an amazing story and amazing atmosphere. And I love it.
Okay.
A plus.
Oh,
really?
A+
out of 5.
Okay. Yep. What is that?
A+ out of 5.
We're changing
our rating system right now. So
nope.
A+. Okay. A+ out of A+. You got it.
That's not.
The A stands for Andrew.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus,
plus.
And the plus is just there as a tie-in, just a promo for your column
exactly.
Within the rating the system.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. All of it. We're just adding plus to everything. And it's just a link.
The new game plus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All of our features.
Does that game have a new game plus?
It does not.
Okay.
Fortunately.
Does Blood Dragon?
No.
Okay.
Nope. No new game plus. So I guess that's another similarity.
There's no new game plus? I like reading that.
I'm sorry. It's done. We're calling it quits.
Oh no.
Video games are over. If there are no games with new game plus in them anymore, how can I write a column called New Game Plus?
Oh, don't worry.
It doesn't make sense.
NIS America still exists. So.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to write my next Disgaea column. Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Jeff sat through that.
Yeah. Jeff is still here.
Thank you for your patience, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to that. You've been playing a weird game, as you said at the beginning of the show.
A very weird game.
Yes. What is this weird game?
Called Xenocalash 2, which is a sequel to what was already a pretty weird game.
Wait, which game?
Xenocalash.
Oh, okay. Well, that seems pretty standard.
No, the fact that it's a sequel isn't weird.
Okay.
No. I didn't really notice that much different between them, other than Like the biggest difference is when you're fighting and going through the story, you gather these allies that can appear and help you in battle. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's the same sort of thing that would go on in Xenoclash. Like you have your crazy world and crazy combat system.
They have people with chicken heads chicken heads that have teeth in their beaks. I don't like that.
Yeah, but the art style is something completely different.
See, I want to love these games, but I could never get into them. Like first person combat is such a difficult thing to pull off in games. To pull off in games in general, and I think only a few have gotten it right. Xenoclash for me it didn't click with me, but so would you say two, like in terms of the combat, does it feel any better or at least different in any way, or is it, you know, still pretty standard, what you would expect from a Xenoclash game?
It feels a little bit better, but I think they could still improve it quite a lot.
Okay.
Like the allies that you can summon, I found like they don't really seem to help all that much except to distract enemies so you can attack them from behind.
That seems pretty helpful though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just not very good at the whole punching thing, I guess.
Yeah, they don't do all that much damage. They just get their attention.
Okay.
So let me ask this. As someone who knows about but never really got around to playing the first game, would there be a reason to play the second game before playing the first game, or playing it without playing the first game? Or is it one of those things where the story kind of progresses and you should experience it that way?
The story does progress immediately after the first game, but there is sort of the tutorial acts as a prologue that describes the events of the first game.
So you're not really missing out.
You're not really.
Is it a motion comic? Out.
Not really.
Sorry.
But it's just.
I think we've gotten past that now, and I'm so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll fill you in on the events, and okay. It is interactive, but it's. Like, if you really like the game, then you might want to go try the first one. But otherwise, I'd just get second.
Okay.
Graham, you sounded really angry when you brought up motion comics. Are you okay?
Well, I mean, I brought up motion comics. But
yeah, I know, but I'm saying you sounded angry when you mentioned it. You're just like, motion comics.
When you like say you can, there's a prologue that sums up the events of the previous game. That's how that happens. And generally, I've found that those are like the worst things ever.
Yeah, well, it's like a
budget saving move that you put as a bullet point on the back of the box. And it's weird.
It's a prologue, but it's also the tutorial section.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which is separate from the main game. So you can actually just start the main game and completely skip the tutorial if you want.
Okay.
Okay.
Those have been video games.
Okay, so that brings us to our topic for this episode, and it is the Xbox One.
What did it win?
What?
Won what?
What did it win?
Boo. I get it. It took me a second.
It was that bad.
Clever. I'm so clever. Okay, I'm going to just shut up. Yeah.
You can shut up after the podcast. How about that?
All right.
Okay. So, all right. You guys probably also kept up with today's events. So, I just want to go around and get some initial impressions. Starting with Jeff. One sentence. Biggest impression, what do you come away from today's news with?
More Xbox 360.
Okay. That was almost a sentence, but we'll leave it. Yeah. Sean, what are your thoughts?
I think Quantum Break looks interesting.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
I do.
What is it?
It is a game by Remedy.
Okay.
And therefore it looks good.
Okay. Great. Andrew.
Hi. All right.
Hi. We've been talking for a while.
No, we haven't. I guess my takeaway from the event itself is kind of underwhelming, but didn't really disappoint because it's what I was expecting. Yeah. And I am the one person excited about the new Call of Duty, and not just because of dog mocap, but I'm sure
you are the one.
I'm the one. Yep.
I thought
that was a long sentence.
Are you buying millions of copies of Call of Duty all for yourself?
Yeah, that's me. I'm
also like, you are the one. You look weird. You're like black and rectangular, and you have a disc slot.
At least he has Wi-Fi.
He does. An HDMI in.
What?
That's weird.
I don't want to know where. No. Let's move on. Henry.
Henry is joining us for this final segment. Henry.
Henry.
Just to be clear, Henry is chanting his own name.
Oh no! Oh yeah, that wasn't my adoring face. That was me. I would say my one sentence. I will say cautiously, passively optimistic.
Okay. Also, who not is? A sentence, but
I am.
There you go.
Cautiously.
No, I am. That's the sentence you get.
Optimistic. I must have missed the one sentence part. I thought it was just kind of like the summary, but okay.
Yours was kind of a run-on sentence, so I think technically it's
whatever.
Okay. But no, let's get into the details of the system. Sean, you want to start with the breakdown?
Sure. Just like most people expected, it has a Blu-ray drive.
Yep.
It has 8 gigs of RAM, just like the PlayStation 4 will.
Yep.
It has an 8-core CPU, just like the PlayStation 3 did.
Yep.
And it has Wi-Fi, HDMI, and it has 500 gigs of hard drive space, which you can use to install your games because you have to.
Right. Which you must use to install it. And they're going to be on Blu-ray disc, so...
Yeah.
So in the next generation, the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 become each other.
Kind of.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so I don't know. Tech specs.
Tech specs.
Do we care?
I mean, the games that we play on that system will look nice.
Yes.
That's pretty much what we're getting at here. And we will have plenty of hard drive space. And we will need that hard drive space because we'll be installing all of our games on it. You know?
Yeah.
So, kind of important. But
Yeah.
On the plus side, we don't need any of that space for our saves or achievements because those will all be on a cloud. A blue cloud.
No. It'll be in the cloud.
Okay.
It says a cloud. A platform in the clouds.
Are you sure it's not the cloud?
The platform in the cloud.
Okay.
It's a blue one.
All right. Good. Glad we got that clear.
No, it's a black one.
It says Azure.
The one is black. At least the one we saw.
I don't know what you saw. I saw something different. I saw a blue cloud.
I don't... Stop looking out your window for a second. Let's talk about the Xbox One, shall we?
Okay.
All right. I think
which event are we talking about?
The one event.
Yeah.
Which one?
The only one.
The only one, yeah.
The Xbox One?
Yeah.
Connect the dots to the one.
Wait. No. Connect?
There is a connect. That is a connect two for the one.
Well, they just called it the connect.
It's the second Kinect though,
but it's the Kinect one.
Is it the Kinect one?
No, I think it's just the Kinect. Actually, I think we should actually stop joking around, and stop confusing.
Kinect to the one.
Which Kinect though? Which one?
The Kinect. The Kinect that looks like it's winking at you.
Hmm. Okay.
Also, the
do we want to go ahead and talk about the Kinect?
The Xbox One will come with a Kinect.
Yes.
And it has to be plugged in or it will not work. The Kinect. The Kinect won't work.
The Xbox One requires power? Next gen. Come on.
I know. It should have a miniature nuclear plant inside it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the One does not.
Which one?
the one with the Kinect.
Okay.
By the way, did you want to use your? Did you want to use the one to access your TV? Because you can.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, we're talking about HDMI in. So yes, it does not function as a cable box, but it functions with a cable box. So
it's basically if you have cable, you could just, you know, hook up your
cable box to one.
Yes. Yeah. To one. Yep. And then and then you could just kind of use the Xbox One as an all in one, kind of device of sorts, which is what we all thought they were going to go after. What we thought they were going to do, and they are doing exactly what we thought they were going to do. So
yes, you can only plug one in.
Yes, well,
at a time,
one Xbox at a time. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess have one plugged in at a time. You can have multiple Xboxes, but probably only one Xbox One.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going. Okay, let's actually get to some of the you know, things about the one.
Okay, it has a new controller. How about that?
Yeah.
It has a D-pad this time.
Well, a potentially good D-pad this time.
Yeah. Well, that's the same to me.
It depends on which controller. I've been using the 360 controller with the morphing D-pad, and what it morphs to pretty much looks like exactly what the D-pad on the new controller is.
Hmm. I do like that it looks like it'll be basically the same shell. Because yeah. I like the feel of the Xbox 360 controller. It, to me, is like the ideal controller to play things on.
Yep. It's pretty good. Yeah, so it doesn't have that, like, protruding battery pack anymore. But it does seem to use batteries still. It just has, like, it inset into the middle.
That's
one of the design changes.
Yep.
Why does it need batteries still?
Because there's no nuclear power plant inside it.
Well, there's... Why not? Next generation, come on.
Yeah.
Well, Microsoft's obviously using inferior technology.
I mean, what is the next generation for, if not that?
Batteries.
The next generation 4 is the PlayStation.
What?
Who even has batteries anyway?
PlayStation 4?
My mouse.
Your mouse has batteries?
My mouse has batteries.
Oh, okay.
So does my Wii U controller.
Does it? Oh, it doesn't.
The remotes do.
Sure.
But they're also last generation technology.
Yeah.
Well, I think what people are getting at is why does it have double A's and not a built-in?
That is exactly what I was getting at.
They should use 9 volts. Come on. Yeah,
it should use D's, man.
Yeah.
4 of them.
Game Gear's coming back.
4 D's.
Oh, yeah. I would love for the controller to have 6 batteries that last me 2 hours. That'd be great.
I detect that was a little bit of sarcasm, Henry.
By the way, I was being sarcastic.
Well, I already do that because I am the controller, and I only last about 2 hours when I play games.
Are you also
really tired?
You have 6 batteries in you?
Yeah, I'm just done.
Do you need to replace the batteries too?
I do. Man, okay. I'm just so sluggish and non-responsive. Really need to do something about that.
Maybe you should partner with EA for some of their sports games.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that was a good segue.
Yeah, so EA is kind of partnering with Microsoft.
It's a special relationship.
Yeah, a special relationship. Yeah,
much like the special relationship you'll have with your TV, with Xbox One. Also the special relationship you'll have with the dog. While you're shooting things.
Oh, we're jumping ahead now. Too many. We gotta take it one special relationship at a time, I think.
Well, there are 3 special relationships.
4 of them.
Ah. 4 1 special relationships.
You know what special relationship
is missing? How many 4 special relationships are there? There's at least 1 4 special relationship. And 4 1 special relationships.
You know what special relationship is missing? One that involves a small ball and hitting it.
Okay.
Are you referring to baseball?
Perhaps.
Well, EA doesn't make baseball.
Well, they should.
They haven't made baseball. Should
Microsoft
they?
Doesn't have baseball games.
I don't think
well,
EA should have baseball games.
Xboxes
they're,
don't have baseball
struggling.
Games anymore.
They've
been struggling
I
to
feel
do
like
basketball.
There will be.
Maybe.
But you guys are forgetting another sport with a small ball, and that is golf.
Cricket. Oh, golf.
Yes, EA has announced at the Microsoft event they're doing new cricket games.
UEFA cricket.
Let's,
yeah.
Right. I'm on Let's board. Make sure that people know that that's not actually true.
Okay, that is not true.
Oh, I'm so, sorry. I'm sorry one person out there listening that didn't actually know that was true. Cause
well, if they were a one person, they'd already know this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to look out for the four people.
Yeah.
Oh,
for
right.
you people.
This is four people.
Not for you people.
Yeah, it's not for you people. You people don't need to know about this.
They might want to.
This one's not for you people.
But does anyone want to say what the four relationships are?
Yes, you do.
Okay, we're going to get UFC.
Yes.
We are supposedly getting NBA Live this time.
Yeah. It's like, we'll acknowledge it when it shows up for sale.
Something about Madden.
I mean, in that it's Madden. I don't.
Yes.
Something
Madden
about
14,
Madden,
which is coming out a year after Madden 25.
No, Matt. This will be Madden 25.
Okay,
Madden. Yeah, this will be the next gen version of that.
Okay, and then FIFA.
Yep.
And the Xbox One is getting the Ultimate Team stuff as an exclusive.
And I think that's pretty big news. And here's why I say why. Sorry, I got to get serious for a second.
Okay.
But, you know, Microsoft has dominated the North American market.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty obvious. And does not compete in Asia, basically at all. So where there's an actual battleground is Europe, where there's a slight tilt toward Sony, but it's pretty competitive, and it depends on the country you're in. Guess what they like?
Cricket.
Yeah, no, but
they
so,
also like
so
football.
Ultimate, yeah, well, right, football, right, FIFA. but so Ultimate Team is a huge deal in Europe.
Yes.
So if it is Xbox exclusive, and when they say that, I get the feeling that that's 360 and one. But that's a big deal. It's a legitimate coup in a huge market that is super competitive. So I think that's like it's bigger news than anyone's going to say. But if you have it clearly where like one has this feature and the other one doesn't have a replacement feature, that's going to be a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, and, hey, they're adding it to NBA Live, which will mean I'll probably use it because it will be way more manageable to manage a roster of like 12 than a roster of significantly more than 12 in sports it's currently supported in.
Assuming it actually comes out.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually, if they keep developing the games, they'll release one, right?
I don't know.
They'll completion two games now that they did not release.
I don't know. It's not like they're Gearbox, where they just finish games that have been lingering for a while.
And then, well, I mean, let's not compare anyone to Gearbox, right?
Yes, please.
Okay.
All
right.
Anyway, but I think it's a big deal. Yeah. Also, I think before we move on, while we're talking about sports, the feature to both with ESPN leagues and NFL.com leagues with fantasy teams where you have your roster's live performance updated to the right of the screen. Pretty cool.
I do think that is pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
I wish they did CBS too.
Yeah, but I mean, doing both NFL and ESPN covers a lot of it. They could get a deal with Yahoo or something, but like if you want that feature, you could probably just move your league to whatever.
True.
Yeah. Anyway. It's cool.
All right. Next we have, let's see, Smart Glass is going to be there again, but we don't really know much else about it. It'll be on phones though.
Yeah.
Yay.
Great.
Has anybody here actually used Smart Glass?
I have nothing that Smart Glass works with.
I used it. Surprise.
Surprise.
It only worked some of the time, which was frustrating. So I used it with Dance Central 3. And the idea was that you could pick the thing to do next while they were doing the thing, which was pretty cool. Like, you queue up songs, and like the party mode, you could like pick out what sort of challenges to do next. And like that's interesting, especially because the lame part of that is the part between songs when people are like, oh, I need to stand up, and then I need to use motion controls to go through this dumb list and then find the thing I want. But you could just be done with that, and then you stand up next. And it's interesting.
Yeah, basically, you get to be the puppet master.
Well,
DJ.
Not so much as you get to like cue it up like you would a jukebox. Like, while like if you're in a party and somebody's doing like a dance challenge, you can figure out what you're doing next, pick out the songs, and just be ready to stand up and do the next thing. Which is cool. Yeah.
So if you tried doing that while you were dancing, did that impact your score?
No, it was already going to be pretty bad, so
okay,
it's negligible.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Let's see. We also have the 360 will, or the One will be a DVR for your games.
Which one?
The One.
Okay.
The one we're talking about.
The One, Jet Li, I believe we're talking about.
Which one are we talking about? Okay, I'll stop.
Well, in that movie, there are two Jet Lis.
Which one was the one?
But one gets murdered. They all get, a lot of them get murdered.
Yeah, there's a lot of dead Jet Lis.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Okay.
The Xbox One does not feature Jet Li, at least not yet.
Not so far.
No.
Yeah.
But
not even with random cameo appearances in 360 games, because it does not have backward compatibility.
No.
Sadly, no.
No.
It's not.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, the priorities, I guess, of gamers, that achievements for the 360 will transfer, but games won't.
Well,
I think if they didn't transfer achievements, they would have, there would be a riot.
I mean, yeah, as I understand it, gamer score, I don't think, is transferring.
Yeah, if
it is.
Polygon said it is.
Okay.
There was
some talk about that.
I didn't hear it during the event, but I did read that somewhere.
I know that the account is the same account. So, that would probably be... The interesting thing about achievements now is that they're allowed to continue updating them all the time and then make them across different games. So, if you want to complete something... Sorry. Like, you're not going to get all of the like achievements for, say, EA games unless you buy all of them and play all of them.
The example I read regarding updating achievements after a game comes out is them talking about how Arrow in the Knee became such a huge meme for Skyrim, so they were upset that they couldn't have an Arrow in the Knee achievement for Skyrim.
Like,
that was the exact...
Is it really worth getting worried or upset about?
No, but I would have loved to shoot someone in the knee and get an achievement for it.
There's an achievement for that in Crisis 3. So there you go.
Well, now you can get one.
Yeah. It's actually called Arrow in the Knee.
If you get one, you can get one.
I'll do it in Tomb Raider. I won't get an achievement, but I'm going to do it anyway.
If that's not the like marketing slogan, just get one.
Shoot people in the knee.
Buy one.
They've already been doing this with...
Own one.
DLC releases, of course.
Yeah, but that's just adding achievements, not really updating.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I appreciate that. I mean, especially they're like on the opposite end, there's that thing where, say, a company's shutting down servers and they're like server specific achievements. Like the last thing before shutting off the servers could be like an achievement patch that modifies those so you can get them.
Yeah.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Of course, much of the system's architecture is not tied to making sure things are good as they turn off servers. Yep. But yeah,
what are you talking about? The cloud is reliable.
Okay.
According to Microsoft, it's loud. It's reliable.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So one of the things about the power of the system is the idea that games can offload processes into the cloud. So the idea is that later in the system's life cycle, more and more processes can be offloaded so that the like working power of the system is increased, as only some of the things need to be done with local power. Of course, that also means any game designed like that isn't going to be playable without a connection. So that's going to happen.
And then the next Xbox will just be an on-live console.
Yeah.
What I'm predicting a few launch problems, just a few, for this kind of thing.
Which part? When people try to buy used games?
No, just the whole, you know, the whole, well, yeah, that, but the whole interconnectivity, always online, cloud stuff. I mean, I know it's doable, but I can't see the launch going without some significant catastrophe. That probably in the end won't hurt the sales overall, but I'm hesitant to jump right in.
Yeah, I have played a whole lot of MMOs, and every single one of them has had problems on launch day.
Yeah.
It's tradition. I have a feeling that even if there were no problems, the creators invent some, just so that there can be a story about how much better it is now.
Yeah, I mean, also, there's this incentive to try to skate by, because the launch of something usually, I mean, maybe later in the life cycle, you just have a passive interest that's larger than that. But at least with the launch, there's that like first day when absolutely everybody's on. And then every day after that, it's like 10% of that. So the amount of like resources, the amount of servers, the amount of staff you need on that first day. I mean, basically, you just have to hire a whole bunch of people, train them, and then immediately fire them after a day. Jeez. And immediately sell your servers. Yeah. Like, it's a nightmare. And so I imagine they try to only have to, you know, lay off 90% of their people from day one as opposed to 98%. Like, it's just a rough situation in general. So really, it would be nice if, say, didn't do that.
Well, regarding the console itself, whether or not it needs to be always online, there's been conflicting reports, and as of right now, we don't really have a confirmation one way or another.
Yeah, I think it requires an internet connection, to be always online unless a game needs it for processing power. Which, from that, I think you'd probably need an internet connection to, say, verify games. That is probably not that the disk saves some sort of thing. Like, if you had systems that you never plugged up to the internet, then maybe you could share games with another one that's not connected to the internet. Or something. Yeah. So the idea is you probably have to activate your games online and things like that, which I'm fine with. There's going to be issues with preservation, and that's a whole different topic. But from like an economic model of like these people need to make money off this game now, or else they don't get to keep making games, then you know it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean the other big thing regarding the needing to activate your games or kind of install them is, well, after you do that, you can play without the disc, which, you know, is great, but it's also not great, because then, of course, again, another thing we're not clear on, at least 100% clear on, is how that'll affect used games. And, you know, originally they said,
sounds like they're not really that clear on it.
Yeah, exactly. They are very unclear.
I heard about the fee, but now I'm reading that there's not a fee.
So there's the official Xbox PR statement. There's statements from people at the headquarters talking to press, and there's statements from Xbox support, and basically all of them are saying different things right now. So in the next few days, it will probably be sorted out. But right now, we just don't know.
Will that stop Will that stop you guys from maybe buying it if there's a fee for used games?
Will you buy one?
Depends on what the fee is.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine
that to impact my decision.
Just personally, I can't imagine if there is a fee it being more than $5 to $10. But again, that runs to the problem of if you don't need the disc anymore, you could just sell that back and then just give that to a friend, and then they need to pay all of like $10 for a $60 game at that point. So then that's kind of its own problem. I don't. It's weird. It's how do you address that stuff?
I think the mentality of trying to stop used games being made for the system is trying to stop a tradition of basic human commerce that's been in place for the last 4,000 years. So anytime I read anything about this, I'm like, you really should be focusing on the bigger picture, like games, as opposed to how are we going to stop used game sales? To me, it's a waste of resources. I think it's a waste of time. So I hope it doesn't. I mean, I don't usually buy a lot of used games, but I know a lot of people do, and I know that there's a whole industry around it, so I don't like the idea of hearing about little stuff like that. Not so much for, again, it's not a lot of money, but it seems to me that okay, they're developing, they're spending time and energy trying to create this system around used games as opposed to actual stuff that most of us give a shit about, like games or something like that.
I don't buy huge numbers of used games, but I have bought a lot of used games that I can't buy new copies of anymore.
Yeah.
That is a big problem. And I mean, it's hard to say. Like, in one way, I think this is a really cool way of making sure that people have physical copies, but also kind of doing away with game discs, you know, kind of addressing both audiences. Cause there are people who just at this point are saying, I don't want to buy any more discs, so I'm just going to download all my games. And I'm sure all those games will be there day one for them to download. But for the people who still want the discs, but also want the convenience of a downloaded game, you get both. Like, I'm a collector, so I would love to have still, you know, I'd like to buy physical copies as long as I can, or as long as I have room for them. So it's kind of nice that I don't, you know, I will have access to the games without having to, you know, dig out the case and put in the disc. But yeah, this is just, it's weird. It's an interesting idea, but it's hard to say how this will impact anything until we get closer to the actual launch of the system. Yeah. Or maybe at least E3. Maybe they'll address some of this stuff at E3. At least I hope so. Because right now they don't seem to understand what they're doing, apparently. So kind of crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about the games that we are aware of now? Not that many.
Besides the sports stuff they mentioned, well, of course, there's Call of Duty Ghosts. Like I said, I don't think there's much to say about it except they mocapped a dog. You know,
dog.
All doggy ghost, yes.
Yeah.
Dog.
And I'm looking forward to that game. Let's see. And then of course, Forza Motorsport 5. I have nothing to say except that the cars look nice.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't say anything. They just showed cars in a second. So
yeah,
great.
So there's that. And then, of course, as Sean mentioned already, Quantum Break, which is Remedy's new game. Which I don't, again, we don't know much about. They just showed a trailer that was like a mix of live action. And then I can't tell if it was in game or just I don't know what it was, but it was something that looked like next gen stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah. I got distracted during that because like the actress, the woman who was in that live action segment is a recurring character in Burn Notice. And I just like it took like 10 seconds for me, like, yeah, that's her from Burn Notice, and then like it was over. That was how long that trailer was. It's like, oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Oh, it's not a Burn Notice game. Okay.
We don't know that yet.
That Burn Notice. Great.
I'm gonna take a guess. Just a guess that this is not a Burn Notice game.
Remedy could make a pretty good Burn Notice game, you guys.
I've.
Oh man.
I'd rather see them make a psych game.
It says they've.
What that game be?
What is it? They've. It says they're going to get 15 exclusives in the first year. I imagine by the end of the first year, that number will be whittled down to. I'd be shocked if it was over. If they had over 10.
Yeah,
but
how many of those are Kinect games?
Yeah, there's the thing. They don't say what exclusives they are. So five or six exclusives are Kinect.
Either way, I think they said 15 exclusives. 8 of them are new IPs. Maybe half of them are Kinect, but that's still 4 new IPs for the launch of your console, or at least the launch window of your console.
Within the first
year. Is the window a year now?
They just said this year, so I'm just gonna say the launch window for now is from the time the console launches, which they just said later this year. They didn't even say holiday. The time the console launches till the end of the year, so that's the launch window. Until they say otherwise.
Yeah, well, they said within 1 year. It could be 1 year, like the 1 year, which is like a. It's like a baker's dozen. It's a 1 year, so it's longer than a year. It's a 1 year.
Either way, I like even if we don't get all of those games right away, I like the fact that Microsoft is kind of focusing on exclusives. I think that's pretty much what you need to do.
That's the way to go. That's
at least for the first couple of years.
Yeah. So we're recording this the night of the event. You might be listening to this a day or two later. But we're trying to.
That was the mocap dog.
It's just actually Sean's dog. That dog you've been hearing for the last 2 years? Mocap dog. Surprising. He's just had an Xbox One development kit and just not said anything to us. No. We're trying to catch all of the news coming out of here. So one thing that's just breaking is a statement from Microsoft that One of those 15 franchises is a historic IP from Rare, which we will hear about at E3.
Cameo 2.
I'm not getting excited about a Rare exclusive again. I've burned that bridge a long time ago.
Well, I mean,
Cameo 2 is better than some of the alternatives.
I imagine it's a new Banjo-Kazooie. Because if Banjo-Kazooie, then I'll get excited. Then it's got to be something that predates at least the 360.
Banjo-Kazooie Connect.
So what about Killer Instinct?
I mean, yes. So here is the list of IP it can be. How about that? We have Banjo-Kazooie, Conker, Perfect Dark, Killer Instinct, Cameo, and Viva Pinata. I guess technically Kinect Sports, but probably we can rule that one out.
I vote Perfect Dark.
I'm going to assume anything that came out.
My hopes up, Graham. You forgot Kinect Sports Animals or whatever the hell it was.
What?
Kinectimals.
Kinectimals was not a Rare IP.
Wasn't it?
No.
No, there was lots of them.
No, because that came out the same time as Kinect Sports, and Kinect Sports was the Rare game.
It was very common.
What was the one at E3 where they said a Rare, like, from the makers of Banjo-Kazooie and all that, and then it showed, like, some Kinect game? It was, like, Kinect
Sports.
Kinect Sports, okay. Yeah. So could it be Kinect Sports 2?
There's already two.
Three, sorry?
Yeah. Well, it'd be Kinect Sports 1.
Oh, God. This is going to get... Could they have picked a worse name? Can we talk about the name yet? Because the name sucks. I thought the Wii U's name was terrible, but this is the worst.
They needed a name, and they gave it one.
Yeah.
Why didn't they call it something else? Xbox One is a terrible name.
They could only give it one name.
Yeah.
We're just going to call it the Xbox. That's all we're going to call it, the Xbox.
I don't know if you noticed, how the rumors were that it was... The system actually just says Xbox on it.
Yeah, we're just going to call it the Xbox.
Yeah. I think Microsoft is, at least starting with this, trying to... I mean, it's never been the company to be the least far away from, like, you know... But people who work in games for Sony specifically say, like, I work for PlayStation. You know, like, it's the PlayStation, this or that, and PlayStation that. And Sony's just technically the company that runs it. Microsoft has always kind of been like, well, we make Microsoft games, but Xbox is our, like, division. I think specifically with this, they're trying to... You know, really push the Xbox thing.
When someone says PlayStation, you don't automatically just think of the first PlayStation.
Yeah,
it's sort of an overall brand now.
Yeah, and I mean, again, Xbox has been moving toward that, but I think, you know, it's been a little closer to Microsoft and not trying to run away from that. But this is kind of trying to build it as like the thing you put on the system. As, like, Xbox is the overall brand and not the name of the system, and then, you know.
I will say,
yeah.
every time during the conference that they said Xbox One, immediately thought of the original Xbox. It's taken me this long to get used to it now. And I'm still kind of not used to it. Graham, you were calling it the One. Just, why? I don't want that. Just call it the Xbox. Stop confusing me. Stop it. I'm telling you right now, stop it.
I don't, what?
Stop. Stop it. Stop. I'm just saying, stop confusing me.
I'm not going to stop it for you.
I think the Rare IP we are all forgetting about is clearly the best of the best. That would be Grabbed by the Ghoulies. That's what it's going to be.
Okay.
I vote for Perfect Dark still.
I don't know. Could it be a new Jet Force Gemini?
Well, you know, actually, I have a theory. I have an actual real theory now.
Okay.
You have one?
Yes. Let me say. The last Perfect Dark game, Perfect Dark Zero. This will be Perfect Dark One. Boom!
Oh, no.
They've been planning this for 7 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it. I think that was the one.
Yeah. What else can we say about this? I think should we go around and just like say if we are interested in a system that is called the Xbox One.
Sure. How about this? Now that we know, like, now that all of the systems are revealed, mm-hmm. you know, now that we have this point, what are you leaning toward as your systems going forward this generation? You know?
Okay. I want to see more. I want to see those exclusive games. So I probably have to wait for E3. for that, but I'm leaning towards PS4 right now just because we've actually seen games besides stuff we already knew about. So
you just want Infamous 3, don't you?
I do want Infamous 3. Yeah, I do. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would like to get the Xbox One as well because I like the controller. I've always been, ever since the generation started, an Xbox guy over a PlayStation guy. Like, the PlayStation 3 has been my exclusive system, while the Xbox has been my third-party system, plus whatever occasional exclusives there are. So I would like for that to continue, just because, you know, it would be just a seamless transfer. But, well, hopefully. But, I don't, you know, right now I'm leaning towards PS4. That's my long-winded answer.
Okay. Sean.
I'm still leaning towards the PlayStation 4, largely because they showed some games I was interested in other than, Quantum, whatever, Break, thing, Remedy. And also because I like the special features that they have said that they're gonna do for gaming other than, more than Microsoft's.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you didn't call it Quantum Leap.
No, I wouldn't. Quantum Redshift. That's on my Netflix.
Oh god.
Quantum Theory.
Quantum Conundrum.
Yeah. Quantic Dream. Yeah.
Yep.
That's what it is.
I almost said Quantum Mechanics.
Hmm. Okay.
But that would have been a broken answer.
Sure. All right, Henry, what are you thinking?
I would love to have all three.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
How about 4?
That's kind of a cop-out. PS4. Sony seems to be the only one interested in learning from... I mean, as far as I know, all three consoles did pretty well this generation. I mean, they were around for a while. Sony, to me, seems like the only one that is willing to learn from its mistakes and try something new that doesn't make me feel like it's a step backward. With a lot of their new stuff, as well as, you know, they keep saying they're going to focus more on games and that the PS4 is more friendly for developers. And I gotta say right now for my interest level, PS4 is easily number one, but that could change in a heartbeat with a good E3 from the other two guys.
Yeah. Okay. So Jeff.
PS4.
Okay.
It really depends. Like, we haven't seen,
like
a lot of the stuff about, like, user interfaces for both systems and stuff like how's the digital storefront going to work on the one.
Yeah.
So right now, just since knowing more about what's coming to PS4, I would still be leaning towards that system.
Yeah. And, so I agree. We need to wait until E3, where Microsoft has clearly said it was going to wait to show off a lot of games there, and Sony's going to show off games there and show off more about the system, just because its announcement was way earlier, you know? It's further from launch, so there are things that made sense to be said in May that didn't make sense to be said in February. So, I mean,
That was back in February.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
This year's going by fast.
Sure is.
Yeah.
It'll be E3 before you know it, guys.
It's Woo! I will be painfully aware of when it is E3.
3 weeks.
Yep.
Less than 3 weeks.
Yep.
Graham's excited.
I'm
Sean's excited.
I'm bracing for impact.
You should probably get on a better airline then.
Oh, okay. Good one.
I have my moments.
But yeah, so...
Only one of them.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Just glad we got all of the jokes about that name out of the way. Yeah. So that means we can never make them again, right? Right? Right?
I'm sure we'll make one or four during E3.
Yeah. You will.
Yeah, you will.
That's what you are for.
Just you wait.
That's yeah. Okay, well, guess. But yeah, so personally, you know, so yeah, I think we gotta wait for games, but at this point, I think there's a third option, at least one I'm considering, And it is to get a fairly beefy PC and throw it below my TV.
Don't throw it.
Well, yes. but place it gently below my TV.
There you go.
Kind of set up for big picture and kind of go that way. I think eventually consoles will, you know, jump on the Steam model if, like, used game sales really are going to go away. I think there will be a lot more interest in the digital marketplace. But as it is, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, it's just, you know, it gets more, get more updates. Stuff that's coming out now is already looking as good as things are going to be in the future.
I've already got something of a Steam box set up using HDMI on my TV, and it works great. And honestly, feels no different than a console.
Yeah, I mean, if you set it up right, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, if that makes more sense, as far as the cost of getting games, if I'm not going to be able to have like discs and things I can play offline, then you know, why not? So I think that's what, at least for me, that's what Microsoft and Sony have to beat to get me interested in the new systems.
I was just going to say, I was partly expecting you to say the Ouya for some reason.
Well, I mean, I already have it. It is not replacing anything. but, you know, look, I will continue to defend it. It's an interesting system. It's an incredibly cheap system. And once people start actually releasing games, then it'll be great. But, yeah, I mean, right now it's pre-launch. Like, I mean, people knock the selection, and that's true. But no, anyway, anyone thinking it's a new contender in the market is silly. But if it gets as much success as Xbox Live Indies, then I'm okay with that. That's the level I expect. And
yeah,
you know, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so I guess we can kind of wrap up. But yeah, so. Look, we're going to know a lot more about these systems in just a few weeks. And next episode, we will be focused on rampant speculation about what that will be.
Yes.
So that should be a lot of fun.
Listen to hear how wrong we'll be.
Oh, yeah. Super wrong, you guys. And it will be recorded. And you can just, yep. Yeah, just
you
say,
can make fun of us.
Yeah, please do. We like feeling like idiots.
Make fun of us in the comments below.
Yeah, that's, yes. All right. Okay. For everyone who's joined me this episode, Jeff, Lucas, Sean, Henry, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.